Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Good morning. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Good Friday morning, everyone. Let's look how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the pre-opening overnight numbers at 8:49. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 6:23, up 22¾ on the open. September, 6:25, up 17¾. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 6:30, up 21 on the open. September, 6:38, up 14¼. December, 6:50, up 17. And March, 6:56, up 21 on the open. July corn opened at 3:36, down 3½ on the open. September, 3:47, down 3. December, 3:53, down 5¼. March, 3:69, down 2¼. May, 3:84, down 4. December 2008, 4:02, up 10 on the open. July beans opened at 8:70, up 60¼ on the open. August, 8:66¼, 50 limit up. September limit up, 8:76. November limit up, 8:92¼. January limit up, 9:04¼. May limit up, 9:08. July limit up, 9:23¾ on the open. July soybean meal opened at 2:35, up 16.80 on the open. August 2:39, up 18.40. July soybean oil opened at 37.50, up 1.93 on the open. August 37.70, up 1.84. At the Merck, June live cattle opened at 87, up 7½ on the open. August 90.30, up 15. August feeders opened at 109.77½, unchanged on the open. September 110.30, down 12½. July lean hogs opened at 71.75, down 15 on the open. August 71.35, down 20. July bellies opened at 93.25, up 42½ on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Wow, is all I can say about this acreage report. Let's begin with the beans, 94.081 million acres, the market limit up today.
64, right.
Yeah, 64.081. And if you do some penciling in, you end up with an ending stock figure, depending on what yield you use, somewhere around 200 to 230 million bushels. What does this imply for the work the market needs to do next week?
Well, that's the biggest question right now, because not to dodge the question at all, Dave, but the issue has become now with today's report and USDA not going on the lower trend of corn acres and a higher trend of bean acres like we had thought they would because of the springtime problems we've had around the country. But we've flipped this market upside down now, where the beans become the leader and the corn is the follower, and the biggest leading indicator we're going to use here now until we get any kind of future adjustment by USDA, whether it's yield or harvested acres or whatever that may be, is the NOV bean dees corn ratio. And so what the trade is going to have to decide upon is, we have gone through the 200-day moving average on that NOV bean dees corn ratio of about 2.46 times. If we go through that on a closing basis here today, then you really have very little resistance and take beans three times the price of corn. And that's probably the track we're on. And so it's more of a technical track, but certainly the fundamental track has, and the window and the door has been opened by USDA this morning. And so upside potential, because we now know that the old contract high of 8.43 area in NOV beans is solid bedrock, solid support because of this report and this acreage reduction. The upside potential, if we close limit up and close this spread above its 200-day moving average, would be north of 950 right now in NOV beans, because there's very little resistance, and the power of the technicals on the weekly chart are really starting to show.
And so then flip it around and look at the corn at 92.888 as the number for the planted acreage today. You pencil in ending stocks on that, and you're well over 1 billion bushels. And you can quibble about exactly where that number falls. But even that kind of a carryover isn't exceedingly bearish in my estimation, is it?
Well, no, but I think what you're getting at is probably a trade mindset that came into the report with the loss of the July corn as the leader and the July D spread as the leader, with the bias that we're going to have an ample supply to get us through the day and get us into next year. Today's report, both the stocks and the acreage figure, you could argue a case where you're going to be at a 1.3 or 1.4 or even maybe a 1.5 carryover now, because you can use those 85.4 million harvested acres. You can plug in a 1.51 yield if you're in Chicago and feel like the corn crop was saved. And a lot of Illinois and Iowa and Indiana is going to now go back towards above normal trend line yields. We don't participate in that idea, but you could argue that case very effectively based upon what USDA did today. And if that's the case and you're trading closer to a 1.4 or 1.5 implied carryover, a billion bushel carryover, then the trade's going to say, well, you're going to have a huge slug of corn because you're going to have near a 13 billion bushel crop here. And it's all going to come from one centralized location for the most part. It's going to all be bottlenecked. We're going to keep the basis weak. You know, we were in the mindset that the basis was going to strengthen a couple weeks ago. We have to change that completely now because of what USDA has given us here, unless they give us a sharp yield reduction in a future report here down the road real quick.
Can't they give us a sharp supply in reduction in on ideas that if you look at wheat prices, certainly can't use those numbers to feed cattle. And if you're looking at soy meal prices, those numbers are going to go up significantly because of today's numbers. So then don't livestock people turn back to corn?
Well, they will, but I think it goes back to the price of corn and the price of wheat. I think USDA has assured us of two things. One, the acreage battle between the crops is going to continue until they say otherwise, and you see that in those back-end prices right now. Two, demand's going to go down, and yes, you're right. The wheat-corn spread's at 290 now, July. We're butt up against the December 1973 high, all-time high, as far as I can tell, of $3.05. If we go to that, then you've hit the resistance level. Yes, you're not going to be feeding wheat. You're going to be feeding corn. But you could still take your corn feed demand down if your price of corn is stuck up here at this 350, 360 level in the futures, because you could see poultry, especially due to the meal price, and to a lesser degree hogs because of the meal price. You could see liquidation. You could certainly see lighter weights. So it doesn't mean the demand for corn is going to go up. It just means the substitution effect for wheat will not lower the demand for corn, but you could still see a net loss in corn demand. You can see a net loss now with 200-point higher bean oil in terms of biodiesel production in Southeast Asia. You can see a net loss in demand there. You can see a net loss now with 650 September wheat being traded in Chicago as a high today as a net loss in demand there. And even the International Grains Council report yesterday, they noted some loss in consumption worldwide because of the world prices. Maybe the rest of the world won't have any either. That's the one thing that we have in the back of our minds after this report when it comes to the U.S. stock situation of corn versus the world stocks and the world stocks of wheat.
The other supply issue that I want to press forward with you is that of ethanol. The April production numbers were actually down from the previous month, and the import of ethanol from Brazil was up. Do these numbers mean we push the go button on U.S. ethanol production?
I think it does. You know, you're going to have an issue now where the ethanol producers and users are going to have a lot better feeling about the cash price of corn. Certainly the Chicago price in ethanol is important to the trade, but I think the most important price is that rack price, that spot price. You're still very profitable right now, and if you get a big slug of corn, a 13 billion bushel crop again this year, ethanol producers are going to press that go button. But I think we'll go back. We definitely missed the acreage number. There's no doubt about that. But one thing we set up before the acreage report came out was you can't, after this year's planting and the delays we've seen, that USDA did note on their front page of their copy today, you can't have both huge acres and a huge yield, because a lot of these acres came out of the cotton areas and those areas have been bad all year long. So between that and the net increase in total primary grain acres and or all planted acres of about 4 million more than last year, your national yield's really going to be tough to get above 150. Doesn't mean the Chicago people won't try and trade it, though. And the worst thing that we can have on our hands is we have a limit-up bean market to start the day, and at the end of the day, we're only up 10 in beans. Wheat is negative, and it's led down by the corn market. So that's the biggest thing we're watching here as we close it out, Dave.
We've got about 40 seconds left. What do you tell producers to do in terms of tweakage on their plans?
Good question. We'll go ahead and buy some more bean verticals here after we see where the dust settles today in beans. We'll also make hedge recommendations on any kind of follow-through corn rally due to the beans and the wheat. We'll go ahead and make some off-the-combine sales for those guys that have good crops because we know that the basis levels where good crops are going to be, if these acreage numbers are taken at face value, we got to get out of that situation and not be hammered later in the year. We'll also probably get some puts bought here later down the road in the corn, but maybe sooner rather than later, we'll just see where we shake out here on the close.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, he is in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.